us though on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. We're going to start with the Nation newspaper, page 4. EFCC arrest federal government top accountant over 80 billion naira fraud.
So what's the news in this? It's front page lead in the Nation. And I'm wondering, in reality, what is the news in this? We all know, I think it is a given now, the kind of rot that you have, you know, in our public space, both at the very top level. I don't mean president, of course not, but at the very top levels, at that level, down, you know, all the way down, it's one robbery after the other. You can call it embezzlement, you can call it what you want. So the accountant general is accused of laundering in real estate 80 billion. The other accusation, of course, is that he has spent beyond his time. I think he's supposed to have retired in 2020, and he's still in office. We'll see how this goes, but I'm not going to lose any sleep watching what's going on. This is, if we ever had a body that will one day take record of every kobo that is taken out of the public coffers at federal, at state, at local government, all levels down the line, a lot of us might just pass out on hearing how much it is. And that's why we are where we are today. The man has not been found guilty. He's going to have his day in court. He only has questions to answer. But I don't think it would be difficult to convince me that anybody at his level wouldn't have up to about 80 billion in assets and whatever. I mean, it's become a given. But why do we kid ourselves about these things? That is how we live. That is where we are structured. And that is because, apart from the beg, borrow, steal theory that I always talk about, the level of greed of the Nigerian now, people no longer steal out of need. They steal to make a statement because it's the right thing to do. That's how they get recognition in society. What myself and my Aburo Tola, what we call, if only mama could see me now. Because you go to town, you look at the houses that some people build, they're in their 50s and 60s, their children are probably in uni, left home, and you ask yourself, is there something wrong with these people? There's something wrong with us with the magnitude of the things that we do. I'm not saying this man is guilty. I'm not talking in general terms. The aspiration of the average Nigerian has gone completely haywire. You know, and only God will save us from this. Otherwise, like somebody called on Sherry's program and said this morning, what do you do with 80 billion? I mean, come, give me a break. Give me a break. What do you do with it? If we heard, for example, that somebody has, it was the 80 billion he used to set up a nails factory or a what or this and that, maybe, you know, it would be a consoling factor. Well, to be amazed, but look at designing. Jewelry, vanity. So it's not that I don't give the Nation any kudos for making it from front page news that the housekeeper or the housekeeper is found wanting for 80 billion. Remember that I say one thing though. Whether the person accused is found guilty or not, the amount in question has been compromised. But I will give you something to set you thinking. When you see a man who is in public office at the level of a minister gets involved in what are called a whim of saying, oh, I want to contest. He pays 100 million and then turns around the next day when he realizes he's going to lose his job and says, no, I've withdrawn it. But he doesn't even ask for the money. What does that tell you? Let's move on to the next story.
And moving on, we shall. Page 8 of Vanguard. Amaechi officially resigns as transportation minister.
Yes, Amaechi, but the Amaechi has resigned. He's done a noble thing. He wants to run. He's resigned. He's done the proper, though a bit late, but better late than never. But as he resigned, Timothy Sylvia and Women Affairs Pauline Talent, they withdrew their presidential and senatorial bids. And then you ask yourself, if at the level of a minister you don't think things through, to know you're going to be putting down, apart from the money that you're going to put down, there's your reputation to be thought of, you know, and there's that thinking to say that, look, this is serious business. If at that level you're not doing that, I'm sorry, you're not fit to be a minister. If at that level you want to get involved in a whim, now it is now worse. It is now worse for it to be that you're going to forfeit 100. It's like you put 100 million in a paper bag, went to Qatar Bridge and threw it in the water. You know, at least up till now, we've not heard that any refunds are going to be made. It is sad. I think that the president should sack all of them because it shows that there's a flaw in their thought processes. I think all of them should be fired. Yeah, but then it won't happen because this is Nigeria. Because if the president were even disposed to doing it, people would be saying to him, "My Excellency, you can't do that. We need this for this. We need this one for that. We need this." You can see the way our attitude to money at all levels, even the man who is in charge, the CBN man, you can see how it all went. You can see the thinking at that level. You know, we say these things and with a lot of pain, I must say. We say this with a lot of pain. Part of the pain being that I've been saying this same thing for close to 10 years. I'm like a broken down record. The job itself is becoming extremely boring. You're saying the same thing. You know, what we expect of a minister, I mean, a minister should, at the very minimum, to be involved in acts that you can call would be a good example to the younger people. How does it sound? Oh, on Wednesday, I want to be president. You write a check for 100 million. And then the president announces on Friday, and by Monday, he says, "No, I don't want to be president again." And you forfeited 100 million. And you are the one who takes decisions for the nation at the Federal Executive Council. It's a big shame. And that's the Nigeria that we keep having. I hope one day somebody will come and reform this country in total. Of course, don't let me go on about the disappointment we have from the current government. We've already put that behind us. If you haven't put current governments behind you at federal and state level, you're likely to die of a heart attack that Emefiele said is glad to have you die of. Let's all look forward and make sure that at least make an attempt in 2023 to have effective government. So I'm glad that Amaechi has resigned. There were some revelations by El Nasser Rufai that you should go and read properly. I didn't know he was that close to the president. And therefore, in my estimation, I suspect he's in the front burner. Let's see how all this pans out.
Right. We're going to stick with the Vanguard, only that we're moving away from page 8. Let's look at page 6 story here. My husband was lynched like common thief, wife of murdered sound engineer.
This is the tragedy that befell us that could jolly well have been avoided. Again, part of it a reflection of us as a people, and part of it because we haven't done the right things. The news out of Nigeria is that in one of the most elitist areas in the city of Lagos, somebody was beaten up and burnt. Not just beaten up, and burnt in broad daylight by motorcycle riders. In broad daylight, in a highbrow area. Forget the degradation that is affecting the area bit by bit. We should feel sorry for ourselves and we should cover our faces in shame. But I will not cover my own face in shame. Because I saw this coming. I hate to say I said so. I always hate to say I said so. But I can also assure you that this is the beginning of a monster that will consume all of us unless we do something right. I've been so saddened since this thing happened yesterday. Sad also because suddenly I have fear. Sheriff, some of our elites will be thinking, "Oh, okay, yeah, why did he argue with them?" It could have been a motorcycle and car accident. And then the car owner would have been burnt with his SUV right in the middle of Lekki. Maybe at that point, I don't want to say hopefully, but maybe at that point, if it's either somebody close to the powers that be or one of their children or whatever, we would then learn the lesson of what to do. We will then learn the lesson of how to run a state and a city. We will then learn the lesson of how to do things properly. Those of us who are in the driver's seat, how to get up and get the job done. Maybe that's when we will wake up. Because what happened here is much more fundamental than we can even discuss on radio. And we don't have the time to do that. It's not a freak accident. It's something that a lot of people saw coming, and those who had the powers to do something didn't do anything about it. And now see where we are at. I don't think I'll be saying anything that people don't already know. So it's left to us. That's the way we want to live our lives. But it's coming closer and closer. Do you know, Sheriff, if it had been in front of somebody's house, and in the middle of the fight, the person who owns the house came out to say, "What is all this? Move away." He could have been consumed in that, and the house could have been bought.
And the house.
Yes. Yes. And that's because somebody is not doing his job. It's a very, very sad development. It's not a time to lay blame. Rather, it is a time to bring out a second yellow to say that, look, these things that we have been telling you all along are getting closer and closer. If this thing happened in Igodo or any of those other areas that are remote, oh, we'll be saying that those areas are rough anyway. This is in the elitist part of town, in the highbrow area of town, that is even supposed to be an estate. Look at Lekki. Who do you meet at the gate in Lekki? The Lekki people cannot even guard that place. Rather, you have it full of area boys collecting money from every motorbike, every this, every that, in a brazen manner. In a brazen manner. And hey, Ikoyi people, you better be on standby. A lot of the uncompleted buildings in Ikoyi are occupied by people you cannot account for. And we suggested here months back, let the state come out with a law that says all sites should be closed and padlocked and sealed up by 6 o'clock every day. Let every worker wear an identifiable jacket. If a contractor, let's say if you work for Costain, Costain will give you a jacket that reads Costain on it, so you're identifiable. These are simple low-hanging fruits. We haven't done so. We don't learn our lessons. Now, Ikoyi is under a much bigger threat than they imagine. Ikoyi people think that they are living on the safest part of town. No! Take a drive around Ikoyi between 1:30 and 2 a.m. Then you have an idea of what I'm talking about. A word is enough for the wise. I sympathize with the wife of this man. I sympathize with him. An engineer. He's a sound engineer. And all this happened over 100 naira. At least that's what we are made to believe. All this happened over 100 naira. The last I heard, were there supposed to have been okadas in Lekki? Is it one of the areas where okada can ply?
I'm not sure.
I don't even know anymore.
I'm not sure.
Let's go on to another story.
This person, Gabriel Oladiji on YouTube, says, Abuja, Port Harcourt, Benin, even in Kano, okada was never allowed. But in Lagos, it's free for all, and we have now created a monster we cannot control. Is the monster out of control?
You want to push me this
way? It's a question. The person said that it's out of control.
I know your system now.
Wait now, it's the person. The person said we cannot control it.
You know, Sheriff.
Yes, sir.
That there are some things boiling inside me I don't want to talk about. Principally because I'm completely fed up and disgusted saying the same thing over and over again. You know, and you also know that if you press my mumu button very, very well, I will explode in this studio here today. But well, I will keep my calm. I will, as you are drinking tea, I will drink my water. You know, you have to, you could bust an artery on this job with the common sense things that can be avoided, the things that you keep saying every day that can be avoided. But then, a time will come when we'll be able to do a nice historical perspective, of all the things that are happening in these current times. but nobody will go unrewarded.
Yomi Dada says Suliri is completely under siege by these Okada riders going towards Festac and Mile 2 will scare you.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
I will not be surprised if I get a phone call that tells me one day, and I hope it never happens, that, oh, don't come to Suliri, don't come to Yaba. The place has been surrounded by these people. I will not be surprised if that happens.
So that Suliri thing is true. I haven't been to Suliri.
It's not just Suliri. No. Have you ever been to a city outside this world where you have this kind of what we have right now as we speak? In Benin Republic in 1977, when during the time of Kérékou, when they had these bikes, they were under control in Benin. I suggested it here, that look, if you are supposed to ply Shomolu, you wear a red jacket. It has a number bold written on it, and on your bicycle is attached to you. You understand? So if you see that red jacket in Yaba, you apprehend him. What are you doing here? In Yaba, yellow. Suliri, black. And things like that. If you must have this motorcycle, if you must have, you need to put them under control. What Akeredolu did, to the best of my knowledge in Ondo, is to have little chieftains in various areas. You have to register with them before you can put your car down the road. But to sit back and do nothing, which is what we are seeing, and make some cosmetic moves about putting 10, 15 Okadas in a police van, taking them to God knows where, it's not good to get anywhere. It's not good to get anywhere. You know, but...
Okay.
Sheriff, catch around.
Let's move on. let's move on. I'm sorry. Page 9, Vanguard. Deborah, 34 lawyers in court to defend two suspects.
I asked my friend Candy Johnson one day, and I said to him, Yemi, what is the strength in having 40, 50 lawyers defend a client? And he said something, I can't quote him verbally. You know, Yemi is a big grammar person, so I can't quote him verbally. But he said something to the effect that most of it is for show, you know, it's just to make a statement. So it is in that light that I'm asking myself, who got 34 lawyers for these gentlemen who it is alleged took place in this act? Who got them the 34 lawyers? Are the 34 lawyers volunteers? Did they spring up by themselves to say, we must defend these people who committed this act? If that is the case, so what is their belief? Is it that one, that the accused did not commit the act, or is it that they were wrongly accused, or is it that they believe in what they did? This is a dangerous development we have to look at. Because the major element in this case is the violent part. That's the part that concerns me. The major element is the violent part. And that is one. The second one, and then of course I saw the video. In case you didn't see it, let me describe the way it is. You know, you are sitting down in the dormitory when you are in school and somebody says they saw a snake in the bathroom. You know that long after the snake is dead, some people will still be hitting the snake, you know, until maybe they decapitate it or whatever it is. And let me tell you something. I feel a cringe of horror when, after beating somebody to death, you still have the, whatever it is, to strike a match and burn the person. So I'm asking myself, the lawyers have a right to defend their client. But when it comes in a case like this to 34 lawyers, I'm just asking myself, okay, do the lawyers believe that they have been wrongly accused, or do they believe that what was done was right? The motive, I really don't know. I don't know if the Bar Association has any mechanism by which they can, at the very least discreetly, find out and tell some of us, you know, what exactly is behind this. Because definitely, this idea of 34 lawyers for these two suspects is to make a statement. is to make a statement. And we can't judge anybody. They have their rights. They have the rights to turn up. But it is worrisome. I hope we do not make heroes out of those who should be villains. But let's see how this pans out. This is part of the problems of democracy in a country like ours. Where things like this happen, you can't take what I would call a direct approach to solving some of these problems. You know, you still have to go through the whole whatever it is and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
All right, right. We're streaming on Facebook and on YouTube. You can go on there and watch us live and drop your comments there. You can see a lot of engagement on the two platforms. Just make it civil amongst yourself while you're engaging, all right? So listen and watch. Page 4 of the Punch newspaper. Blogger arrested over report on Ogun governor. Lawyer slams Abiodun.
I'm sorry, Your Excellency. I have to keep talking about this, especially more so. It shows up in the papers again. And in this case, it now involves not just a third party, but somebody who might jolly well be a colleague. My advice one more time to Governor Abiodun is to open up on this and put it behind him. For as long as we have incidents like this happening, it will keep coming up and it will be a complete irritation to your ambition. Whatever it is, some of us have done things in the past. When we go for public office, it's best to own up. That's the way it is done, sir. It's best to own up and say, yes, this and this and this is what happened. Luckily, according to part of the argument you put up, you say some of them are time bad. Put up that argument, apologize to your people, but say you have, you know, since then you have moved on, because it doesn't even help that one of your aides was recently jailed in America. All kinds of insinuations are making the round. And unless you come out, unless the governor comes out to face this squarely, give a once and for all explanation and apology so he can, like a make or break situation, it will keep coming up. Now, this blogger, according to the story we have in the Punch, he was arrested for allegedly publishing a story on the governor. And the story, the report said that it was about his alleged criminal records in the United States. This story does not help the governor's cause. This story I'm saying, this act that has happened, does not help the governor's cause. He needs to tread with caution. That's my advice to him. Unfortunately, the most difficult people to advise are those in power, because of those who surround them have no stake but will be giving the wrong advice. My advice to him one more time, own up. The records are there. There's no point running helter-skelter. Own up to it, put out an apology, and put it behind you. There are people with worse records who are in public office. Okay? There are people with worse records who are in public office. Some of them own up, some of them don't. But if you don't want this to continue to haunt you, and for people to use it against you in a bid for your second term, and you must remember, you know, that the position of chief executive is very important, especially the image we give to our youth. Think of that. So own up, apologize, and let's move on. Because the people in your state have already seen what you've done for 1 year anyway, for one term. And if you did that, they could then be saying that, okay, he's owned up, whatever, he's reformed, let's give him a second chance. I would advise very strongly that the issue of this blogger be handled in a very, very diplomatic manner before it blows up even to the Western world. Remember, those of us on this side of the divide, we belong to a large community, and we tend to want to defend ourselves when the need arises. That's my little advice for
the governor.
For Mr. Abiodun.
Yes. Okay, all right. Well, that's the much we can take on the show today. We have to go.
You have some but, nice juicy stories there, too.
Yeah.
Right. Well, take it. I see you at 9.
Yeah, at 9, Abi. Who is coming out at 9?
Shagwa Gwede, 60.
Oh, he's 60. He was 60 yesterday, Abi.
Yes. Okay. But because I wasn't here yesterday, I said you should come in this morning and have a cup of tea with me.
Oh, fantastic.
And then let's see what's going on behind his brain for 6 years. Well, he'll be joined by his dear Bumi wife, Helen Emore.
Oh, okay. All right.
So she'll join me to handle him.
That should be fun. It should be fun. Thank you, Lagos. Thank you, sir, for coming.
Thank you.
All right. We'll take this break. When we return, we'll talk polytechnics on strike. For about 25 minutes, we'll have the president of the Polytechnics Staff Union on the show. And then we'll talk about the ministers who have resigned and those who have not resigned. The other side. Stay with us.
They don't disconnect your line. Sick of say you not link your national...
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.